Today on Real Life Radio.
And he's going to come back and he's going to undo this world. You can cheer up. It's not going to stay this way. He's going to fix it. It's going to get real bad before it gets good, though. He's going to let man run out the clock. And then he's going to come and fix it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, we've all felt the pressure, even the guilt of not giving God more of our time. Life in our fast-paced world can be exhausting, trying to navigate through hectic schedules, unexpected challenges, and even a health scare. The irony is that so much of that pressure would go away if we would just slow down and quiet ourselves so we can truly experience God's presence. After all, a life apart from God is really no life at all. So how can we make pursuing God a priority in our lives? Our current featured resource can help. It's called The Pursuit of God, and it's written by a renowned author and evangelist, A.W. Tozer. This Christian classic offers hope and guidance to pursue God in a whole new way. The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze towards Him. The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled, Heaven, Will You Be Going There? Part 1. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about heaven, the future, and why it matters in our lives today. You see, when we take a deeper look at what the Bible says about heaven, we need to ask ourselves, will I be going there? And am I sure of my eternal destination? So today, Pastor Jack teaches that it's in all of us to want to experience paradise. But if we want heaven as our ultimate destination, Jesus needs to be the Lord of our lives right now before it's too late. Now with his message called, Heaven, Will You Be Going There? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
If I were to host a funeral of a non-believer, it's always tough, by the way, to do a non-believer's funeral. You know how hard that is? So how can it be hard? Because you can't get up there. Listen, you can't get up there and lie about it. Whoa, wasn't Chucky fantastic? No, Chucky cursed God. He was a drunk and he beat his kids and he died. You can't go up there and say, let's say some nice things about Chuck. You can't do it. So man, how do you do a service like that? It ain't easy. Look, when a believer dies, it's a party. When an unbeliever dies, you know what I have to do? I have to say, friends, listen, one thing is for sure, based upon the word of God, if Chucky could talk to us today, he'd say, love God with all of your heart and believe in Jesus Christ. Because you know that's true. Because if he ain't in heaven, he is saying, oh no, I wish I would have loved God and believed in Jesus with all my heart. That's what Chucky would say. Well, you don't have to go through that. The number one thing about the reality of heaven and making sure that you're going there is waking up to some truths that we need to consider. Number one, write it down if you would. It's this, that there is a natural witness of creation. God has not asked any of you to make a blind leap of faith. Now, believe in me, close your eyes, put a blindfold on, and leap out into darkness. The God of the Bible doesn't do that. God is so abundantly kind, there is the natural witness of creation that God has given us. A moment ago, you saw just some mere silly photos of some beautiful places. Imagine what God can do. And so part of the mental hors d'oeuvres is this fact that to Job, the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, in Job chapter 38, verse 31, listen to this. Job hears God speak. Job, listen, Job had been complaining. He'd been upset. He'd been hurting. Of course, Job, he had a horrible situation. And he's just pining on. And God basically says, are you done now? Can you just be quiet? I'm going to ask you some questions now. Can you imagine? Job stands there. God says, I'm going to ask you some things now. And you answer me. And in verse 31, God says, can you, Job, bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Can you take that constellation up there? Can you tell me how I keep it together? Tell me how, Job, tell me, it wants to fly apart, but it stays together. Tell me how I do it. You think you know everything? You think you know how this is going to end, Job? By the way, that goes to all of us. You think you know how your life's dynamic, how that situation that you're going through right now, you think you know how it's going to end? God says to you today, tell me how I bind the Pleiades together if you're so smart. I got this. Job just stood there. God said, or how about this? Or loose the belt of Orion. The constellation Orion. Maybe the wrong time of the year. In the mornings, the Big Dipper is going to be over here. Orion maybe might be in the southern or western sky. He's the hunter. He's the one with the belt. And he's got his arrow drawn in the sky. You can see him, the constellation. And God says, Job, tell me how I loose. How do I move that constellation around the skies without it bumping into anything? Answer me, Job. Or verse 32, can you bring out Maseroth in his season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? He's talking about constellations and systems of astrophysics in the air. Friends, listen. If you're an atheist or not, you got to listen up on this. You cannot deny the existence of stars. God says, I know every one of them by name, and I'm in control of them. See, man, that's a huge statement. Of course it's a huge statement. He's a huge God. By the way, a little side note. I got to keep an eye on the time here, but a little side note. See the word Maseroth there? It's kind of fun. God says to Job right there, he said, can you bring out Maseroth in his season? So Maseroth? Yeah, can you bring out Maseroth in his season? There's 12 seasons. Maseroth has 12 elements to it, has 12 pictures to it. Job, tell me about it. Well, listen, church, Job knew something about Maseroth. It's a Hebrew word. It's known to the ancients. It's 12 constellations. One appears every month, and they tell a story. It's called the Maseroth in Hebrew. And it's the entire story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, Maseroth. Every month tells a story. In fact, there's one month about a virgin. If you're into Babylonianism, she's called Virgo. Maseroth in Hebrew, because the Jews were captured by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar changed. He's brilliant. He would capture, extract the genius out of a culture, and keep the people intact. He used good people. He didn't kill them. He wasn't dumb, but he changed their culture, what they wore, their names. He changed them. Guess what? He took the word Maseroth, Nebuchadnezzar took the word Maseroth and changed it into Babylonian, and it's called Zodiac. And the Zodiac is a twisted, perverted story in the sky of God's gospel message that was presented to Job. In fact, the book of Galatians tells us and hints around to us that God preached the gospel to Abraham in the stars. Remarkable. Doesn't Satan do everything like that? He takes sex and he makes it nasty. He takes marriage and he destroys it. He takes the blessing of children, turns it into a curse. Everything Satan gets his hands on, he destroys. It's a lot like what's going on in our world and our nation today. Lunatics get their hands on something, they destroy it. Satan's like that. Jesus said he has come to rob you and to kill you and to destroy you. Satan. Remarkable. And so there's this amazing challenge. Job, in other words, look at my heavens. They should scream at you that I've got this in your life, Job. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, regarding the natural witness of creation, should cause you and I to want to go to heaven. And the reality of heaven can be argued. The psalmist says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. You got to circle the word ordained. What is man that you're mindful of him? Is that awesome? The word ordained here is epic. The starry sky, God says, I've ordained it. Teleonomic. I've set a course for them to travel on. It's so certain. You can do math later on in the 20 and 21st centuries, and you'll be able to figure out when to launch a rocket from Florida or from California. You can figure out by my mechanics of the heavens just right where the space station could meet up with the incoming capsule. Did you know you cannot do that? JPL could never figure that out except or unless God is dependable. Think about that. I don't believe in God. Why not? He screams at us and says, you think this is something? I've got a heaven coming. Your eyes can't even handle it. Your ears can't even receive it. And I've given you a physical or natural witness. And then I'll move on for speed's sake, but Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. That's awesome. I'm sorry, but I've never seen a person walk out, see something spectacular. Whoa, look at that. Look at the Milky Way. It's amazing. You know, remember the Riley's Farm night? Did you guys do that? Yes. Riley's Farm for the Christmas? Did you see how dark it was up there? Did you go out and see the star? You can see the Milky Way. I've never seen anyone walk out there. Oh, look at that. Wow, that evolution is awesome. You rock, Darwin. It's never happened. You feel very small when you see such things. God is speaking to us. The second thing is that there's a personal witness that all of us can agree with, and that is all of us have a conscience. There's a consciousness that God has given you. See, you can say today, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in heaven. It's funny, you don't believe in heaven, but you want to live in a beautiful place and beautiful manicured lawns and gardens, and you want to live in a, if you could, you'd live in a palace. And I believe that you're searching for heaven, you don't know it. And you want to have stability and protection and safety, and you want your kids to be unstable like you were, so you give them everything. And why? Because you want them to experience something better. Why would you deprive that from God, wanting you to experience something better in heaven? He wants you there. The Bible says that hell has been created for the devil and his angels. That means that God did not invent hell to send humans there. Humans go there because they demand to go there. You see, that's the default, not heaven. There's a personal witness of consciousness. Again, Job chapter 14, verse 14, Job says, which might be the oldest question of all, Job says, if a man dies, shall he live again? You ever think about that? If a man dies, shall he live again? Somehow, some way, something's happened. Imagine, as I've said before, I want to say it again. If we were so terrified of our child getting into internet sites that they ought not to go to, as much as we are about a germ, wouldn't it be amazing if every husband was terrified of some flirtatious woman that would threaten his marriage, that he saw that as a greater threat than he does a virus? What's wrong with us? Would to God we could convert our position where if we are protecting ourselves from a virus that apparently everyone's going to get anyway. If you look at the data, the statistics are overwhelming. It's just something like now you're going to get. You're just going to get it. Don't say that. What if we were suited up in the spirit realm against the attacks of Satan and the enemy and concerned about that? What if people told us, you know what, you need to cover up. So what I mean, get your shield up, get your sword out, get your breastplate of righteousness out. There's the enemies in the area. But we don't, listen, I don't know if we believe in heaven. We read about it in his book, we talk about it. But when we talk about getting ready for it, thus our conscience, amazing thing. Conscience, do you realize right now your physical body, listen, we've been doing this for thousands of years. If we cut you open like a Christmas turkey and took out all your parts and we searched for your conscience, think about it. Where is it? Could it be here? Let's open that up. What's that thing? What's that little thing behind the liver right there? What's that? That's not it. Where's your conscience? So you got to move up. It's up near the head. It's in the head. Oh, we open up your head. Look around. There's not much up there, by the way. Did you know that? Your brain is highly composed of cholesterol and other types of things. It's there. It's about 7.5, 8 pounds. Crack that thing open. Put it out there. Look around. You know, the brain today is still more advanced than any of the observable universes we've seen. The brain. And listen, and people look at it. What is it? It's a brain. What do we do with it? We're not exactly sure. It's beyond us. But where's the conscience? Nowhere. How'd it get there? Isn't that amazing?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Bible says God created Adam out of the dirt. See, that's ridiculous. That's what you are. That's what you are. Me. We're made out of dirt. And Adam was nothing. And the Bible says when God formed him out of dirt, Adam was just there. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you love to have seen what happened? Because God, it said that God breathed into Adam the breath of God, the life of God. It's where we get the word, by the way, pneumatic, wind-driven. God breathed into Adam and he came alive. The elements went from dirt into the structure of tissue and flesh and sinew and bone. God did that. And Adam, can you imagine? Adam is alive. How'd that happen? Listen, when you die, your soul, your spirit, your consciousness leaves your body. We can talk to you all you want. You're not there. Get up, get up, get up. They're not getting up. Their life has left. We know this. And God says to the believer, to be absent from that body of yours is to be present with the Lord. But that presupposes that you're a believer in him, that you trust him. There's a personal witness. The Bible tells us, you know this is so true. In Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Now listen, this is Paul the genius speaking. It's amazing because it's the Holy Spirit using Paul, but boy, the Holy Spirit had a lot to use with Paul. It sounds like he's a graduate from like SC Law or something here in a moment. Listen to this genius. For when Gentiles, non-Jews, he's a Jew, he's talking about non-Jews, even unbelievers, who do not have the law, they've never seen the Ten Commandments, by nature do the things that are in the law. These, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves. This is not only a biblical theological fact, it is a sociological, anthropological, you know what I'm trying to say? Fact. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Watch this. You have a courtroom in your head every moment. And that courtroom makes a difference between themselves, their thoughts, accusing or excusing them. Did you know that? In your head, your conscience reminds you that you're innocent against that accusation, but you're guilty about these things. Think about it. The Bible says, if you've never even heard of God or the Bible, you realize if we flew over, if we're going to Sao Paulo, Brazil, Los Angeles to Sao Paulo, takes forever. If we were to fall out of the airplane and land in the Amazon jungle, did you know we'd come across some people who they don't have a Bible? And you'd watch them. Did you know what? They got, all they have a spear. And they have like funny looking underwear on. That's about it. Do you know what they know? They know it's wrong to murder one another. How do they know? They know it's wrong to steal from each other. Did you know that? They don't steal from each other because it's wrong. They don't rip off any other's husbands or wives from one another. So, man, those guys are barbaric. Maybe not. Isn't it interesting? See, right now, if you're an atheist, you gotta ponder that one, man. Where did it come from? Well, it's just part of man. Exactly. Where did it come from? Well, see, the truth is you don't know. People don't know. Well, somewhere from by near the spleen, there's this thing that causes us to think, a chemical, and we've mistaken it for morality. That, my friend, is called insanity. That's a long way to try to justify your wrong conclusion. It speaks about the fact that you and I were designed by God to be with Him in worship and in fellowship, and it's called heaven. And He's going to come back, and he's going to undo this world. You can cheer up. It's not going to stay this way. He's going to fix it. It's going to get real bad before it gets good, though. He's going to let man run out the clock, and then He's going to come and fix it. But there's a personal witness. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, 1, a familiar verse because it's so important for our age and will become more important every day. But 1 Timothy 4, 1 says, now the Holy Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, the last days, as we approach the end of time, some will depart from the faith. Some will give up for whatever reasons. Jesus gives you those reasons in Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower and the seed. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to give heed, give attention. Watch, people. It means that they're going to give themselves fully over, attention, completely yielded to deceiving spirits.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Heaven, Will You Be Going There? Part 1. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures, a series on prophetic scriptures and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. It's always a pleasure to see my good friend Pastor Jack in studio with us. Hey, Pastor Jack, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. We've got an awesome featured resource, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Awesome is a good word for it. Yeah. Fantastic would be another word for it.
Yeah, listen, are there bigger words than awesome or fantastic? If there are, it applies to this book. And I have to tell you, I am so biased. I think the first time I read this book was something like 1979. Yeah. And it was so transformative in my life that I've just made it a regular book that I read annually. And man, is it powerful. It's a little book. Don't let the size fool you. I actually think it's about a quarter of an inch, maybe half inch in thickness. Very small, but so super powerful. And it's life-changing.
I love the fact that you say you read it annually. Because quite frankly, any book that you decide to read annually, I got to get my hands on that. Why is it so important to you that you do read this book every year?
You know what? It's the caliber of the spiritual depth that's there. It causes me to come back home, so to speak. I don't know how he does this. Tozer was known as a word craftsman.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is read the first chapter and you'll see what people are talking about, where he's able to string along several sentences or even a paragraph, and you've got to—I'm not kidding—you've got to set it down, and actually think about what he just said.
Yeah, really think it through.
It's so deep. It's so well said. It's so powerful, and so you know well, Davey, that when we encourage people to get a book, that we believe in these books. These are books that we're very selective about.
Yeah.
They're books that I have read personally. This one's at the top of the list. I mean, yes, hello, everybody. The Bible's at the top of my list.
Good point.
When it comes to human authorship, this book is probably my most read non-Bible book.
I don't think you can get much more of an endorsement than that. Pastor Jack's, other than the Bible, most read book, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God. It's our featured resource this month at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.